Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems.
Home improvement problems, that is.
And for people who want common sense guidance on how to build green and live a more sustainable lifestyle. If you have a home improvement hang-up, help is on the way. You can send an email or call into the show. The Mighty House crew is now on the job. This is
Mighty House.
I am Ron Cowgill, and the Mighty House team is back. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. And you can find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you're looking for some great companies to help you out around the house, just go to Mighty House team page at MightyHouse.net and click on the Mighty House team page. You'll find a lot of great companies. Scroll down through there. They'll help you out. Get you squared away. Heating, cabinet guys, all kinds of stuff. Home inspectors. And if you give us a call at 773-763-9278, you have a chance to win a copy of My Journey into the Wilds of Chicago, a beautiful hardcover coffee table book about natural wonders within 1 hour of downtown Chicago. And you can learn more about it at chicagonature.com. And right now, if you call in with a question about firewood, we can help you out. Rich?
Yes.
Don't you just like burn the wood? Isn't that how that works? You start a fire and you throw it on there?
The only thing we don't burn is treated lumber.
Sure. No, it burns.
Oh, it does, but you don't want to be anywhere downwind from it.
No, or anywhere within the vapors of it, because it's pretty nasty stuff. But we are now with Jeff, and you're from the Reds Garden Center, correct?
Correct. Reds Garden Center in Northbrook.
Okay. And Laura stayed or stuck around also?
Yes, I did.
As support?
I'm stuck. I stuck around.
Yeah. Moral support?
Moral support.
Okay.
And, yes.
So, she said, let's talk about firewood. And I go, okay, so you cut up a tree, you pile it up in the corner for a year. The next season comes around, it's dried out good, you throw it on the fire. Boom, done, right?
In a simple concept, yes. But I think there's a little bit more to it than that.
Thanks for joining us today. That's it, folks.
Yes, thank you. Firewood is having a success.
I think one of the first things that is important is the safety when you're burning in a fireplace.
Uh-huh.
You know, you should really have your chimney inspected at least every other year, depending how often you burn. But I think that's very important. Safety first, always.
And what's the problem there? Why would you want to have that inspected and cleaned?
Well, sometimes if you're not burning hot fires, you can have a buildup inside your chimney, and that can cause a chimney fire.
What's building up in there?
Creosote.
It's like the oils and stuff from the smoke that just kind of hang on the sides.
Correct. Like if your wood isn't seasoned well enough and you don't have a hot enough fire, you can get build up on the inside of the chimney.
It's like the sap and stuff that gets into the smoke, and then it sticks to the sides.
Correct.
And if it gets nice and thick enough and then you get a good hot fire going, then what happens?
You sound like you've had one of these before.
No, actually, we're coming up on the time of the year where it's common, because what people do is they throw their wrapping paper from Christmas in the fireplace and it goes up the chimney and ignites that creosote.
Yes.
So that's one of the things we always tell people is do not throw wrapping paper in your fireplace.
Or your Christmas tree that you cut up because it's nice and dry and you put it in the fireplace. But what happens, though, is you get all those oils, that creosote that lines the chimney. And then all of a sudden, you know, and if you have a fire that's not too hot all the time, and that's you keep a low fire going, all of a sudden you throw a couple logs on there because it got really cold, and now you've got a good fire going, and those flames start going up there, it heats up the creosote, and pretty soon you ignite that, and now...
And that creosote burns very hot.
Yes. So now you have a blowtorch sticking out the top of your house.
Wow.
And you hope that there's no cracks in the mortar of the clay liner or anything like that, because now that fire then can start going into the walls of your house, and then boom, the whole house goes up.
That's a fire.
Do these chimney inspections, they evaluate your chimney for all
Yes,
that
they
stuff?
Do. They actually drop a camera down your chimney to inspect it visually.
And what happens if they find that stuff?
You get it repaired.
I mean, do they
you
just
get it repaired? Sometimes you can put a stainless steel liner in them. Okay. Depends on the applications.
But that's what the brush is, you know, that the chimney sweeps use. So they're brushing all that out. They're cleaning all that out, cleaning it up and getting it out of there so that that way mm-hmm. you don't have that issue.
Is that why Santa goes down the chimney?
I think so.
Yeah.
And that's why we should get him clean before Christmas.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you don't get this then.
Yeah.
See, that's really what you're trying to avoid. You don't want them to show up.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I've never lived in a house with a chimney, so I didn't know that.
With a real fireplace?
With a real fireplace, no.
Okay. Okay, so what kinds of wood should we... I've heard pine's great to burn, right? Is that the ideal one you want to burn?
You know, I think in this area, people have a misconception that you don't burn pine because it has sap in it. But that is not true. I mean, if you think about it, if you think about the West... out west in Colorado, that's what they burn out there. They burn pine, fir, and spruce.
Mm-hmm.
So those are considered softwoods because they're evergreen. But you can still burn that here. It's just we have better access to hardwoods. And a hardwood is defined as anything that's deciduous. So
that has leaves.
That has leaves that loses.
That fall off.
This is Mighty House. That was a big word. It doesn't float here.
We're gardening people.
All right, anything that loses its leaves
more than two syllables. More than two syllables, you're talking over our head. Okay, just want to make clear that. Okay, so if it has leaves and it drops its leaves, that's
a hardwood, and it has more BTUs, so it's better to burn that. You get a longer, hotter fire.
The actual growth rings seem to be a little bit tighter. The cells in that type of wood is tighter.
Correct.
So it's a harder wood. And so it takes longer to burn, and it's harder to light then, too, right?
If it's dry, to me, that's another misconception, and that's just my opinion. Some people say oak is harder to light than birch. But if it's dry and you're using kindling, I'd always use kindling if you don't have a gas starter. It'll light no problem.
Mm-hmm. So let's go through that process now, because you put the board down and then you use the stick and you run it between your hands like this, right? And you start your fire. Is that how you do it?
You do. You have to spin that stick really quick,
right? Back and forth,
back
and forth.
Spark. Now, actually, the way I do it is I crumple up some newspapers. I put 4 or 5 pieces of kindling on top of the newspapers.
Which is just smaller pieces of wood
chips? Very small pieces of wood. There's several different types of kindling. There's cedar kindling. There's fat wood.
Fat wood?
It's from Georgia. The natural oils in it, you can light it with a match, and it burns hot, and it'll start your fire also.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's a new one. Hey, did you know about that, Rich?
No.
No. Okay. So they have a lot of forest fires down there then?
No.
They do.
Well, Tennessee does right now.
Oh, yeah, Tennessee does, yeah.
So then I crisscross my logs 2 or 3 layers high, take a match, light it, no problem.
Boom, done? Okay.
I just turn a gas log lighter on.
You can do that also, but some people...
It's cheating.
Some people turn those on like full blast and just charge the wood sometimes. So you don't have to go crazy. It's not the more the better on the gas log lighters.
No.
Correct.
No.
You know, regarding the wood types, you know, Reds, we sell firewood, and sometimes I answer the phone and customers will call and say, you know, what kind of firewood do you have and what kind do I need for whatever purpose they have, you know. And I always, of course, I don't know, so I... turn it over to one of the experts like you, but that's a pretty common question. How do you answer that?
Well, some of the different firewoods have different characteristics, obviously. At Reds, we sell 5 basic types of firewood: oak, birch, maple, cherry, and hickory. And then we do a mixture, and we have a mixed hardwoods. So if I wanted to talk about the woods that we sell, oak, it burns very long, very hot. Mm-hmm. Birch has a pine scent to it. Again, it's easier to start. The birch bark ignites really quick, burns a little quicker than oak. Hickory has a really nice hickory aroma, and that burns about the same time as oak and with the same BTUs. Maple burns in between those, and then cherry crackles and pops a lot and burns a little bit quicker like birch. And that has a really nice aroma also. So it depends. You know, people who say, oh, I just want a quick fire before I go to bed, they're going to buy birch. and it burns quicker than the others. So,
and you can you throw in just one log on that. Is that enough, or do you have to put a
lot?
On there?
A lot depends on how big your fireplace is. I like to put 5, 6, 7 logs on at a time.
How long does that last then?
Depending on what kind of wood and how dry it is, that'll last an hour, hour and a half.
Okay. So when they call up, and I don't know if you've driven, if anybody's driven by Red's, they're right now, I'm pretty sure there's a mountain out there.
Yes,
yeah,
there is.
Cool.
It's not a pile of wood. It's a mountain of firewood. And it's right along the street there, so you can see it, what's going on. And there's a sign on there. I don't know why. But it looks like firewood, and I would assume you sell it. So.
Yes. It is. It's like a mountain.
Okay, so here's the question. I call up and I order. I want some firewood. How can I get it? I know there's things. There's a cord. There's a face cord. There's a half cord. What does all that mean?
Okay, legally, the wood has to be sold by the cord measurement or fractions of a cord measurement. So a full cord of wood is 4 feet high, 4 feet long, 8 feet wide, 4 by 4 by 8.
So again, 4 feet tall, 4 feet wide,
8 feet long.
Oh, a pickup truck bed.
Yeah, yes, but I don't think you can get a full cord on a normal pickup truck.
No, but roughly, the dimension of it.
Correct.
A full-size pickup truck is 4 foot by 8 foot. 4 foot high, that's roughly what you're going to be.
Correct. So okay. not many people burn that much wood in a winter. Our most popular is a third of a cord, which is also called a face cord, which is 4 feet high, 8 feet long, one log deep, and our logs are 16 inches.
Okay.
So that's the most common size I believe that we sell.
Ordering a face cord, though.
Correct.
Okay. And then... Then what you sell?
Should run a sale on middle cords.
We also sell a lot of half cords, half face cords, I should say, which is four by four, and one log deep.
Okay, and if we order that now and I don't use it all, is it okay just to leave it sitting there until next year, or leaving it sitting outside and through the summer in the rain? Is that
you can leave it outside. I like to cover the top of it. Just to get the moisture that's like from rain.
Mm-hmm.
I like to keep that off of it. So just covering the top is good.
And leaving the sides all that open so it can...
Correct. It can still breathe.
It breathe and dry
because
out.
If you cover it and you get moisture in there, you know, you get moisture and you get something to decompose, it can start that process.
So if you tarp it completely...
You do not want to stack it right up against your house either because you just invite bugs and termites to your home.
I disagree with that. We stack next to houses, next to garages all the time. We stack in garages. Up north here, we don't have a termite problem. And there's insects everywhere. So it's not like the wood is...
If you left it there a period of time, it could rot out the siding and that kind of stuff.
Well, but if you left it right against the house, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I wouldn't have it touching the house. I'd have it a couple inches away.
Okay. All right, let's take a quick phone call from Brian in Streamwood. Hey, Brian, you're on Mighty House.
Hello, I just got the wire hooked up.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yep, we got you.
I'm driving. I was just going to leave a comment. What I do when I start my fire, in the spring, I buy that shredded cedar.
Okay.
Bag of it for $3, and I take some on vacation with me when I go camping, and... Handful of that will start any fire. You could just light it.
Yeah, I'm sure that works really good. So you guys sell the chips of wood like that too, I'm sure.
We do. We sell the kindling, we also sell cedar mulch, which I think is what he's referring to.
Yeah, that's what it is, cedar mulch. I just use this.
Huh, cool. All right. Well,
but I've never heard that before. That's an interesting idea.
That's
it's simple.
Yeah.
It's $4, $3. I don't know. I mean.
Excellent. All right. Well, thanks, Brian.
Thank you, guys. Have a good holiday.
All right, you too. All right, we got to take a quick break. Can you guys stick around for a second?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll stick around, and we'll talk a little bit more firewood right after this. You're listening to
Mighty House.
You okay, Robbie?
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House will return.
It's Abby. out to start my day. I got a million things going and I gotta get on my way. I'm thinking about awakening my wife, but that kiss isn't worth my life. And there's a lot to do, 'cause I'm headed out on the job. I got the Ford cranked up and the wind blowing through my hair.
All right. I'm Ron Calgill. The Mighty House team is back. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. All right, there we go.
Quick couple things.
Yep.
Mike Anderson posted a picture of Bucky the Badger, and he said, yay to the caller, Chris, go Bucky Badgers. He did say, great show today, guys and gals, so I said, thanks for the compliment, but boo on Bucky Badger.
No way.
Exactly. No.
Buckeyes, we're talking wood. How's it, Buckeye, that's a good word to burn, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
can
you can
you
burn
play
Buckeye.
Can you play that song again for just one moment?
What?
The Ohio Fight song. No Bucky Badger.
No Bucky Badger.
No.
No.
And then...
You want this one.
I do.
Right here, that.
Mm-hmm. And while that's going on, we have a comment that our guest said the word deciduous, and one of you said, that's a big word, we only use words with two syllables.
Right.
Well, syllable has more than two syllables.
That's good.
So thank you very much for all
so we get lucky every now and then.
And calls and emails and, oh my gosh. There's emails here from Bob about the conversation we're having now. Don't scrimp on kindling. Tell us why chimney cleaning logs are a very bad idea. Please tell us why.
It is my opinion that you're just introducing more chemicals into there. Have it done professionally. Don't try to do it with a chimney cleaning log. I'm just against that.
Well, yeah. And again, Jeff Sibley, nursery. You're the nursery manager at Red's, and you're the firewood expert up there, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So
you buy all the firewood.
And Laura stuck around. So if you're looking for wood, what kind of, you have a bunch of different species up there, right?
We have oak, birch, maple, cherry, hickory, and mixed hardwoods.
And Rich, you always want to burn the hickory and cherry in your fireplace, right?
No, in my smoker, not in my fireplace. That seems like a sin. But I'll be honest, I actually use oak mostly for smoking, because it's more mild.
Some of our customers are restaurants, and they use oak. We have a couple that use oak, and then some who use hickory. We also sell smoking chunks and chips of, like, cherry, hickory, pecan. I'm trying to think of what else is out there. Maple.
Mesquite.
Correct.
Oh, I like mesquite.
Mm-hmm. See, I'd only use that on beef, because it can be pretty heavy. So.
Yeah, it's good. I like that. Put that in my gas grill and... Come on, I had to go there.
I know.
I had to do. I had to say that. All right, so we've got a bunch of phone calls here and a bunch of stuff to get to. I just wanted to bring you guys back one more time because you've got a unique thing going on up there. Everybody just thinks firewood. Just go buy some wood and throw it in the fire, light it. There's a more to it than that.
Yes.
And you guys are up there. It's not just going to the store and grabbing a bundle and throwing whatever wood you can get in there. You can actually tailor that wood to for the right smell and everything else.
Oh, right. The burn characteristics. And I will tell you, we take pride in our products. I think we have the best firewood around. Is that important? To me, it is.
Wood's not just wood.
Right, exactly.
And it's the way it's cured. And everything else. So I appreciate your time today. We got a bunch of other stuff to get to, but I just wanted to bring you guys back onto this segment and say thanks and stop by.
Red's Garden Center, 3460 Dundee Road in Northbrook. And today we have the camels, and you can see the firewood mountains at the same time.
Very nice.
Yes.
Stay off of them. Don't climb on them, though.
No, you're not allowed.
Okay.
But I really want to pet the camel.
We'll come by and we'll see what we can
okay.
do.
All right, cool.
All right.
Thanks, Jeff.
Bye.
Thanks,
Thank
Laura.
You very much.
Appreciate you guys coming
Bye.
In. Thanks. All right, let's go to the phones and let's get it started with Lisa real quick. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
How's it going? Hi, Robbie.
Good.
Hi, Lisa. Congratulations.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. Thank you.
A lot of hard work you guys have put in.
Yeah, so for the listeners who don't know, so this is Lisa from Illinois Solar Energy Association, and this week in Springfield, we finally get to stop saying fix the RPS because we did.
Fix the RPS?
And RPS is?
What is that?
So this is all the solar legislation that we've been talking about for the last 5 years, and that is the legislation that will enable us to develop more solar and wind across the state, as well as some really great wins for energy efficiency programs coming down the line. So that's going to definitely have a positive impact on all the contractors that listen to Mighty House. So some really great, great stuff. The dust is settling. It was an unbelievable whirlwind. The legislation, we continued working on language through the entire Thanksgiving holiday. Folks were working 15, 20-hour days. Once the legislation dropped, there were 10 amendments. And then just sitting in Springfield during the Senate hearings and the House hearings, and then actually watching debate on the floor was quite a civics lesson. But I think it's really, really great. This is part of the nuclear bailout as well, so people have probably seen some of the controversial articles about that. But 70% of this legislation was regarding the positive improvements that we will have on clean energy technologies, both solar, wind, and energy efficiency.
I know this is all part of that clean jobs bill we were talking about a long time ago, too, right? Pieces of that are in this?
Correct. Yep. In fact, a big, huge chunk of our legislation remained intact. So a lot of the big asks that we had made it all the way through the negotiation process. As everyone recognizes that this is something, clean energy is not bipartisan. Everyone needs clean air. This is not something that, has an issue with politics. Everyone needs good jobs. And so we had tremendous support and very little opposition to that side of the legislation. So it was incredibly exciting.
Yep. And so the nuke bailout part, what are the pieces of that and what's that doing?
Yeah, well, so, the original ask on the nuke bailout was nearly $600 million a year. Through the negotiations, that was actually whittled down to $235 million a year.
Sorry, Rich, I was wrong.
What was your guess?
I thought it was $27 million a year. How much is it a year?
$235
million a year.
For 10 years. But there are some consumer protection triggers in there that if the power plants do end up becoming profitable, those monies will be refunded to ratepayers. And the Attorney General's office is still working on some of those aspects. So although the bill is passed with the 10 amendments, there's likely some things that need to be cleaned up in a trailer bill. And we've been working with the leadership, both Speaker Madigan and President Cullerton, as well as Governor Rauner, on fine-tuning some of those, we need to just work on tidying the bill up a little bit, even though it's passed.
Right.
Well, at least one good thing is there's no way in hell they'll get the $200-some million because they don't have a budget anyway.
Well,
so it's all for naught at this point.
They're going to be rate-payer programs, Rich.
Yeah, it's
and that was the bittersweet part.
Explain that again. Say that again.
These are that will be a line charge on bills.
Nice.
So these are not tax dollars. These will be rate-payer dollars.
Okay,
that's just a nice way to. It's called a hidden tax.
It's a hidden tax, definitely.
Yeah. I'm glad I left that state.
I believe it's going to be a specific line item on the bill, but there's still some discussion as to what will show up on the bill itself, because it may even be a line item for all of the energy. But those are some of the details that are still a bit unclear. That was part of the bittersweet part, too. This was a very difficult bill for everyone, both the opponents and the proponents, legislators, the people on the floor. We were all, there was a lot of work that went into this, and it was a very courageous thing, I think, that those that did come out in support and actually, vote saw the importance of clean energy and opening those doors and finally fixing this RPS or the fixing the solar and wind policies.
Yes. And so I wanted you to call in real quick and, kind of just go over that a little bit. And if people are looking for more information, where can they go?
Well, we're working on it right now. One of the things I'm going to be doing is hopefully posting a blog in the next 24 or 48 hours. I actually haven't done my actual job at Solar Service for the entire week trying to focus on this stuff. So I'm going to actually give some time back to my employer this weekend.
Oh, wow. I'm sure Brandon will be happy.
So the IllinoisSolar.org website does have a policy tab on it. So start watching for my blog post there. Environmental Law and Policy Center has a fact sheet, so I'll get all of those things to Robbie to put up on your Facebook page.
Awesome.
There'll be much more to come. This legislation is going to take some time to make its way through the rule making process as we continue to flesh out the details. So it'll probably be late 2017, early 2018 before we see some of this. But we've got. In the meantime, the solar industry has some fantastic programs that will happen in the spring of 2017. So people don't need to wait. You know, the time is now to go solar, and you have a lot of advantages in doing it sooner than later. And certainly we have a small planet that we need to protect, and we need to start moving and transitioning away from fossil fuels.
Right.
So it's exciting, and wow, we did it, and I want to thank your listeners who were active over the week and hopefully called in to their legislators who are possibly watching this process. It was quite civics in action.
Right. Well, so you've learned a lot personally then, I'm sure.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I don't think that I've learned enough that I don't think that I'm going to ever run for office, but I do think everybody should get involved in this process.
What it's all about. It's easy to stand back and complain about it, and it's a lot more difficult to get into the, you know, actually get in the mud pit and actually try and make some changes. So I appreciate your efforts.
It's easy to say that all politicians are evil, but, you know, they have to be experts on absolutely everything.
Mm-hmm.
Or you at least kind of surround yourself with the right people.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it was an impressive Springfield did good this week.
Yep.
I know there's some controversial parts of this, but I think in the long run, the benefits are going to far outweigh the detriments. And I am really excited because I know a lot of contractors work, listen to your show, and there's some really great stuff coming through for energy efficiency for, you know, the guys that are out there working hard on insulation and windows and appliance upgrades and all kinds of things we're going to be having a more robust program. And Illinois will definitely be a leader continuing moving forward in that sphere as well.
Excellent. And I believe next week there's going to be an Illinois Solar Energy Association meeting. And
Thank you.
That's Thursday night, right?
Thursday, December 8th. It will be at Emmett's in Palatine, and we will be drawing for the Tesla.
Oh, I thought the 30th was
so
the cutoff.
Ticket sales cut off on the 30th, so I don't even know. That was Wednesday night.
Yeah.
But the actual drawing for the Tesla is going to be on Thursday. So folks should come on out, support our organization. Although the event is free, we are going to ask if anybody, you know, doesn't mind giving some donations, because this definitely has been, a huge undertaking for us to be in Springfield doing this much work. So, and just supporting us and moving forward, because we're going to have a lot of education to do.
Right.
And teaching people about solar and how they can do it in their own homes, how entrepreneurs can start businesses and get involved in this industry, and supporting Illinois Solar will definitely be an important part of making sure that this is successful.
Excellent. All right. Hey, Lisa, I appreciate your time.
Yeah, no, thanks for squeezing me in. I sure appreciate it.
Trixie,
thanks,
morning.
Lisa.
I'm going to have to go peel Trixie off the ceiling. She's flipping out.
Thanks, Trixie.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Guys, be well.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. And let's see. Let's go to Mike. No, what? Where do you want to go? Oh, okay. Let's go to Fran, maybe. The phone just died on me here. Try that. There we go. Hey, Fran.
Hey. Before the atmospherics interfered, I was complimenting Rich on his clear, concise lecture, mini lecture on insulation. We don't want to do too much of that, though. The derb oil, you'll get a swelled head. I was wondering if you guys could go into it a little more deeply without entering nerd territory. Could you talk about... I'm hearing stories about improperly applied closed sell.
Mm-hmm. That does happen.
It's not applied in lifts. Instead, they just want to do it slam bam, all 4 inches or whatever all at once, and it doesn't cure. And then you get off gassing, and improper mixing by guys who haven't been trained properly, you know, haven't been certified in the area. Just that's it. That's all I really wanted to say.
Okay. All right. Hang on a second. Well,
nerd alert.
Go ahead.
No, we won't get that crazy. Actually, closed cell foam does not really off gas, basically because of its nature. It's closed cell, so it cannot. It doesn't release that. That also then creates an issue with curing. The curing is more a problem
Bingo.
Because of temperature when you're spraying it. It has to be kept hot. Now, if you go, most of the rigs now, the trucks are so damn expensive to mm-hmm. have those foam trucks out there that you're not going to put a couple Yahoos on it. You're going to make sure these guys are pretty reliable. So that stuff's heated and it's run. And it usually works well. And as far as the ingredients, I think there's a whole bunch of different types of Part A, and I could have these backwards, but Part B is only made by BASF, and that's the reason why the price is so high. You can get all the other stuff that you want to make foam, it's the blowing agent from BASF that's killing everybody.
Yeah.
So once that patent runs out, then maybe spray foam will drop in price.
All right, Fran, we got to take a break. I appreciate the phone call, buddy.
Yeah, later. Bye.
All right, thanks. Bye. All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back with Clutter Clarity next. You are listening to
Mighty House.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House will return.
This is Mighty House with Ron Cowgill.
Answering all of your toughest questions about home repair.
Get all your answers from the experts. This is Mighty House.
There we go. All right. Whoa. There we go. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Look for Mighty House, podcasts, and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for our Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. All right, Robbie, you there?
I'm here.
Rich, you there?
That was like, I the am. Show was okay. So fast and crazy today.
Rocking and rolling.
Oh, click, click, click,
click. Boom, boom, boom.
I have like a stress headache keeping it all together.
Are you okay?
No.
No?
I mean, yes.
Yes.
I just know that there's a Nachi Nari meeting coming up. That's all I know.
That's all you know?
Yes. And you said I could go and eat for free or something.
Yes, you can.
I just have to say Jeff.
Jeff Kaida.
Jeff Kaida's name.
Yeah. Okay. The treasurer of Nari said it's okay to stop out. NARIChicago.org. Click on the events page. December 13th at 5 p.m.
Got
out
it.
In Schaumburg.
Mm-hmm.
So, there
I
you go.
He's listening.
He's having a heart attack right now. excellent. Cool. All right. So, are we ready?
You tell me.
We're going to wrap this all up, tie this in a bow, and
That's right.
turn over this last segment to Clutter Clarity. Is that what we're doing?
All right.
You ready for it?
I'm ready to rock and roll.
Sing it.
Baby.
Do you have a disarrangement disorder? Can't seem to get that jumbled hodgepodge pile of chaos in one place? Maybe it's time for a little disposal, a little cleanup, a little eradication, evacuation, liquidation, and purgification. Here's Robbie with a tip on how to put some neatness into your disorder. This is Clutter Clarity on Mighty House.
Save me from this prison. Lord, help me get away.
Sing it, B.
Cause only you can save me now from this misery. I've been lost in my own place, and I'm getting weary. How far is heaven? And I
living. How far is heaven? Lord, can you tell me?
All right, there you go.
All right, so.
This is very strange, Rich, not being able to see you.
Where is he?
the battery ran out on my tablet.
Yes, and you guys were talking and you froze, so I just kind of clicked it off.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's and again, creepy. I could just log back in and it would go to Ron's phone, so.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we could do that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, you go about your business there.
All right.
Clutter Clarity starts now.
Okay.
Go.
Today I wanted to talk about two of my favorite products. And, you know, it's the holiday season. I'm just looking up at the monitors here, and there's so much dust. You know what you could do? You could take a magic eraser. And what I like about magic erasers, and I'm not kidding, I just happened to look up and see dust on all these monitors. What I like about magic erasers, if you clean with a regular dust cloth and you're not using one of those microfiber ones that catch all the dust, it just like, it spreads the dust all over. It just kind of flakes around and goes into the air. But with the magic eraser dust, dusting with the magic eraser, you wet it and it will actually capture the dust. So it's a really good thing for that. But there are many, many reasons that I love the magic eraser. So let's just say you're dusting and there's a sticky spot on there, but you're dusting with a microfiber cloth. And so you get the dust off and you're like, oh man, there's a sticky spot. Well, if you had the, you guys are silly. They're waving to each other. So if you're dusting with the magic eraser, then you can go ahead and get the sticky spot at the same time. But one of my favorite things to do with the magic eraser is on all the doorways, if you have painted doorways and a lot of them, like let's say you have a white kitchen and then everybody walks through and they touch the door sill or the door jamb or whatever you call the molding around the door.
Over by there?
Casing.
Casing.
Casing. Everybody touches that and it's just filled with fingerprints. Walk through the house with your magic eraser and you attack all the fingerprints.
I love those things.
I love magic erasers.
The genie guy, right? The bald dude?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The Mr. Clean magic eraser. You just walk through. By the time I've like spent 20 minutes, what happens is these dissolve. They kind of like fade away.
If you leave them dry, they last a lot longer. I don't wet them.
Really?
Yeah. But if
you don't wet them, they won't capture the dust.
True. Then they'll just spread the dust. I have to cough. Hold on.
Kazoom tight. No, I was installing an outlet this week, and you know, then there's fingerprints all around where I was working, and I just keep that in my electrical bag, in my Klein Tools electrical bag. Ding, ding, ding. I pull it out, wash the wall down. Boom, done.
You
fingerprints
didn't
are
wet
gone.
It?
No, I just leave it in there.
Oh my gosh, I wet it and it does like slightly dissolve.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time I've walked through the house, the thing is all gray and it's all crumbling because
you got it wet.
Because I got it wet. But to me, the wet works better. So there's a list.
It's not more better.
It's more better.
And they like when you wet them because then you have to buy more because they
absolutely
fall apart.
Right.
So it's really good. I was talking before about like, you know, if you have an hour and company's coming over, what do? You walk through the house with your magic eraser. And if there's any scuff marks on the floors or anything like that, or any little dirt or stains or coffee spills or something.
If they're coming over in an hour, it's too late.
Magic eraser.
Forget it.
Magic eraser removes crayon marks and many markers from walls and furniture. If you have coffee and tea stains, magic eraser. If you have tennis shoes that have smudges or dirt on them, magic eraser. Got too much paint on something, magic eraser. Let the paint dry. Soap scum. Oh, my gosh.
Let me guess.
I love it.
Magic eraser.
Stop it. Magic eraser. So, yes, the soap scum on the bathtub. Oh, my gosh, the magic eraser. Now, if you haven't attacked the soap scum in like a year...
It takes a little bit more.
It's going to take a lot more elbow grease. But you wet the magic eraser, soap scum.
Off your glass doors.
Boom.
Your shower doors.
Done.
Boom, done.
I love that. Oh, my gosh. You have a dry erase board, and sometimes if you leave the writing on there for a little bit too long and you erase it with the eraser, you'll still have the, like, shadow of the marker.
Uh-huh. That was a good movie.
Shadow or marker?
No, the shadow.
Okay.
Strange individual.
You could use it outside. And so let's say you're gardening, which I never do this, so I shouldn't even say this because I don't do this, but I was thinking I should do this. Your garden tools, I leave mine outside and they get all rusty. I know. know it's really bad and I shouldn't do this.
But not if you buy aluminum ones.
What I should do.
Stainless steel.
Is when I'm done. And this is my own idea. I just am too lazy to do it. I should keep my magic eraser with all my gardening tools, and then which are all outside, so it doesn't matter. And when I'm done using them, I should just wipe them all down with a magic eraser because it will dry them, it will take the dirt off, and it will help prevent rust.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, again, this is my own idea. I don't do it.
But you can talk about it.
But it's, those who can.
Do as I say, not as I do.
There
Thank you.
Go.
That's what I was looking for. Okay. If you have the caked on mess in your microwave, little magic eraser.
Uh-huh.
How do you get that from bacon potatoes?
You're kidding,
popcorn,
right?
The popcorn oil. When you, popcorn, you know, the bag opens a little too soon, and then you get the splits of those butter.
You bake a potato, and it explodes inside there.
No, you slice it first.
Well, I'm just saying, if
no,
it happens.
Poke them with fork holes.
Yeah, you poke it, and it explodes inside there if you cook it too long. So anything outside, the outside furniture, the outside tools, the outside, if you have the little plastic or whatever that material is called, like the Fisher-Price or whatever, like the little slide, little tykes, like the little tykes. It's some sort of plastic.
Mm-hmm.
Clean that stuff right up. So, like, if you're going to a rummage sale or garage sale and you buy stuff and it's like they're selling it really cheap because it's dirty, buy it. And then get yourself a Mr. Clean Eraser.
The bald dude stuff.
The bald dude.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So amazing. Bugs, after you go through a car wash or something like that, and there's bugs left on.
Uh-huh. On the windshield. Clean. Don't use it on the paint.
No. Because it takes, the shine. Are you noticing it takes the paint off or just the shine?
Well, there's a clear coat.
Yeah.
And it's not good for your clear coat.
It does take that off. So don't use it on that. Okay. So that's thing number one.
That was just number one?
Well, that was number one of my favorite products.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right, we're gonna.
And I thought that was the Forrest Gump version of shrimp recipes for the magic eraser.
I like that, though. Okay, here's my number two favorite project.
Are you billing them for that?
Vacuum bags.
Vacuum bags?
Oh, like, my gosh.
No. For the vacuum cleaner, are you talking about a vacuum for freezing stuff?
Neither.
I don't know, Rich.
The vacuum bags that you pack stuff in.
Huh?
Oh.
Oh, and then you suck them out. Suck all the air out.
Storage bags.
Oh my gosh! I use them for home organizing for my clients all the time, and I just find more and more and more ways to use them. Okay, so I'm packing up a whole house, and you know, you get these big boxes, and you put a couple things in there, and all of a sudden it's filled. The box is filled.
Comforters.
Yes. Yes. It's amazing.
So you suck the air out of the box.
It's amazing for comforters and it's amazing for pillows. Throw pillows, bed pillows. Oh my gosh. So you put them in those vacuum storage bags, you suck them out, it flattens everything. It's amazing. And then my clients are always like, "Well, is it going to come out all wrinkled?" No.
It doesn't?
It doesn't.
Come on.
It doesn't come out all wrinkled.
When you fold it and then you suck it and crimp it down tightly.
It's got to have lines.
You got it. It's got to leave a mark. It just has to leave a mark.
It's got to leave a mark.
It's got to leave a mark. Okay, well, let's just say I haven't left things in for like 500 years.
Uh-huh.
But things have always popped right back up. So not only when you're moving, but if you have a linen closet or if you have one of those trunks.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you suck that out. Okay, then the other thing is a lot of people have the summer winter clothing, which I don't own enough clothing to have a summer winter thing.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of people are like, what do I do with all my kids' clothes? There's no room for all their summer stuff and their winter stuff. But then I put on the shelves and then I run out of room. I put them in the vacuum storage bags. So all the little kids' summer shirts and skirts and shorts and stuff go in the vacuum storage bag. Suck it all out. You have the flattest little... What?
No, you donate that stuff because when next summer comes, it's going to be too small for them. Just donate it. Get rid of
it. And it's out of style.
No, not kids' clothes. But good point about donating stuff. But oh my gosh, for the summer winter stuff and then the winter storage of all your winter hats, gloves, scarves, mittens, stuff like that, because that's so bulky it takes up the room. Put it in there, suck it out, make the suck out sound, Ron. Just like that. Put it on a shelf somewhere. Oh my gosh, vacuum storage bags. Unbelievable. I use them for everything.
Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. The conversation continues all week long on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is @MightyHouse. Next week, we'll be talking with Mark Klein from Klein Tools and John Koenig. He's also the author of the Dimension Bible. We'll have another Mighty House tip of the week, the Mighty House Greenhouse and Clutter Clarity. And in between that, we'll be taking your phone calls. Thanks to Jeff Sibley from Red's Garden Center. He's a firewood expert and also a manager there. You want your firewood, that's the place to go, Red's Garden Center. And thanks to everybody that called in today. Sorry we couldn't get to all the calls. It's a new problem we're having here at Mighty House. For Rich Calgill and Robbie Earhart, I'm Ron Calgill. Keep it square and level
until next Saturday.